The next poem is the same person. She's had that experience where she almost died and has decided to go to a faith healer. It's a little bit livelier kind of a poem because she's no longer... It's not... The crisis has passed. The reason I think I wanted to write this poem, which I actually wrote before the last one, is that I'm very interested in religion in America and the various aberrations and strange forms religion takes. I think a lot of Americans have lost their orthodox religion. I know I did. And therefore, we begin to turn to other strange forms of worship, and out of a need to believe in something other than mortality. That I think that explains a lot of people like Jim and Tammy Baker. And I was fascinated with them for years before the whole scandal broke. I used to watch them with a sort of a grotesque fascination. They were so horribly fascinating. And the faith healer in this poem is not quite so nefarious and grotesque. He's actually kind of a mensch. He's kind of a good guy who really wants to help people. Another interest that I think comes through in the poem is my interest in the forms that classicism takes in America. I called this book Palladium, and that was one of the reasons why. It's a reference from the Greek Palladium. And one thing I'm really interested in as I look around America and the landscape are aspects like where I live in the Midwest and on the East Coast too. I don't know about here, probably not. But there are houses that are ranch houses and very, very plain. And they'll have little columns all the way across the front of the house as a sort of a gesture toward those classical Doric columns. But a real aberration, a real Americanization of classicism. And things too like linoleum that looks like marble. And even the classical forms like the golden arches, these beautiful spherical forms and what we've made of them in this country. And I think what got me started thinking about this was that I grew up in Troy, New York, and upstate New York has all these classical name places like Ithaca and Syracuse and Troy. And of course, the cities are these places that are anything but grand. They're these old post-industrial cities. And the difference between the place where I grew up, which was quite impoverished and depressed, and the idea that it once wanted to be Troy, the grandeur that was Greece, that was sort of touching to me. So that, I think some of that is behind this poem, which is an awfully long introduction, but it's a rather long poem. It's called The Body Opulent, and the title refers to the woman's body, but the body opulent is also America. Mr. Silver owned a steel plant and manipulated auras on the outskirts of Detroit. A faith healer. Perhaps he could heal mine. Through subdivisions trim and brown as bullion cubes, a defoliated zone where heavy machinery depreciated, I took my heart. The waiting room contained a cloudy sky made finite in linoleum, a kind of American marble. Whatever lured me here? Well, a month ago, I'd plunged into a double dark nothing like sleep, since sleep gives dividends of dream and free wake-ups. Coming to, my body less tractable than a grocery bag of sand, I knew I'd nearly made the one-stop shopping trip I'd heard so much about. Doctors pursued the elusive verdict, their spooky machines awhir with purpose. Their glowing dyes showed fiery tributaries ribboning my heart. Arabesques of argon violet, cross-hatched in patterns so complex, they seemed quite random. It would take some faith to unravel all that bafflement. Was it heretical to expect things from this world? To want to live forever in the cell's jewel glut, the body opulent, a squirming heaven in each fist? Well, Mr. Silver spoke first of psychics with the power to bend metal supernormally, light lamps 2 miles away, draw like famous artists, and speed the growth of seeds. Though he could do none of these, I sensed a Yankee optimism when he mentioned his ability to diagnose and treat disease. Never mind preachers finding devils under everybody's skin. Some things are beyond our knowing. It's important to believe, he said. When I agreed, he seemed relieved. All right, sports fans, let's see if these success stories go beyond conjecture, he said. I was to close my eyes and meditate on something pleasant while he mediated over me. And though I tried to snag my mind on sweetness, I kept thinking, this is America, and I hadn't told anybody where I was going. He put his hands around my neck and squeezed. Each cell got busy singing the dawn song of its name. My body suddenly felt worth its weight in light, as if I held the sky above an earthquake, the magenta glow made by electric fields and shifting plates inside each artery and vein. After 30 minutes, he backed off to give the news. It's true. You have a cardiac screw loose. But I'll tell you what to do. Smile. Meditate like you did tonight. Remember, you don't have to kiss anybody's fanny. You're going to be all right. By way of farewell, blessing, or epiphany, he feelingly recited Kipling's If. Then his flashlight led me through a maze of cold rolled metal, polychromed partitions. Outside, the night was laced with bright fillips of pidgin English. Glass benders in bins among transformers, standing burners, the din and smell of lightning formed these lifesavers and double helices of neon, an old-fashioned, hard-to-stack, quickly cracking stuff. They vacuumed each tube of impurities, primed the inside with hot-colored phosphor, painted the spaces between letters black. And they burned themselves, welding adrenaline messages into night. Lashomb, exotic dancers, Warsaw footlong, Elijah's Hellenic den looked the most respectable. When I opened the door, a waiter raised a platter of flames. Opa, the patrons roared, as if their lungs were made of silk wrapped round a shout. Still hoping for signs and wonders, I thought it might mean health or life, an omen of survival. It's just something we say. Means like, olay. Don't mean nothing, the waiter told me. The appetizers were dark and shining. The wine local, from grapes grown in the Motor City, going by its nose of Pennzoil and Prestone. A dubious sustenance, yet I swallowed it, like gospel, that somehow did me good. I was lucky then, under the enormous torque of Midwest sky, to find my Nova in the lot, to drive past emblems galvanizing night, the golden arches, spirals, labyrinths, and flags, the halos placed like logos above service stations, Mobile, Gulf, and Shell, the freeways glowing dot and dash, a path of crumbs to follow home.